It's a body floating into the land. No, it's a body swimming out into the water. No, it's the land itself here that's a body. A body of land. It's the water itself that's a body of water. The earth rises away from the shore. A human figure slopes up from the ground. Its toes touch the toes of its mirror image. Another human figure facing it. The bottom half of this figure is cut into the earth and filled with water that has streamed inland. The top half of the figure is a plain of grass that stretches offshore and descends underwater. The monuments have been brought down to earth and made part of land and water. There must be an airport nearby. The shadows of airplanes up in the sky are carved here into the ground. Planes are made of grass now, and planes are made of water. Planes are horizontal, above ground and below ground. Planes are inclined toward the ground and away from the ground. It's okay, don't worry. The sidewalk here is supposed to be water. The water rushes down the sloping street as we walk up it. The wall beside us is a wall of water that feeds the stream. The water washes the wall. Come on, the sidewalk is covered with grating. We can walk on water here. See how the grating splits now as it goes downhill. Half the grating hugs the wall. As the sidewalk slopes under us, we're kept suspended up at the wall. Let's sit inside the wall, behind the waterfall. Duck, there's a searchlight sweeping over the wall. It's comforting to know that we're protected here. But no, we have no privacy here. The sidewalk breaks apart into steps here. We're walking now through the sidewalk and into the base of the building, underground. It feels as if we're walking into a well. The risers of the steps are glass block. Light glows from within. We descend through a sea of light that the building floats on. Below the building, a slanted mirror reflects the sky. It reflects us as we walk down. We're pulled into the mirror. We're part of the building now. Let's stop here in the middle of the street, at the traffic island. It's not so different from the street. The traffic island has been turned into a street, a rising street pushed up by a pile of cars. Come with me to the top of the street. Look down at the rows of signs, the rows of stores ahead of us. Take two. Let's stop here again in the middle of the street. This traffic island is an island of water. Cars are half submerged in water here. We're walking out on these little promontories made out of cars, these tiny islands. Cars are upended here, like rearing horses. They spurt water like spouting whales. Take three. Let's stop here again at another traffic island. Like the first one, it's a rising street. But this street splits in two and curves off in different directions. From up here, we take one last look at the shopping mall. If only we could have bought everything, we say. This is a city of magic carpets. Inside this city, we ride the hill as if we were surfing the waves. The hill is a mound of garbage, but no matter. After all, this is a city of magic carpets. Each rug is a bed of rollers, bearings. As methane gas is released from the garbage, the rugs adapt and hug the shifting contours of the mound. This body of land stretching out from the shore reaches out for other bodies floating on water. Its hand grasps at the hand of one body, the foot of another. One body reaches out for another, one after the other. The bodies make a line of islands. They almost touch, but always keep a distance. Let's leave solid ground now. We're stepping out from one body to another into the water. The ground here bursts either in or out, either up or down. On the lower level, the grass spirals up out of the ground. On the upper level, the ground spirals down into the ground. At the end of each spiral is a pool of water. Look, the pool is a fountain. There's a spurt of water over there. It stops. Look, there's another spurt of water up there. The United States flag is stuck in a field of other flags, slanted flagpoles at different heights. Either they're rising out of the ground or they're sinking into the ground. They're red flags. The flags are metal. They clank in the wind. Yes, yes, we hear you. Yes, yes, we're coming. Up ahead, the official globe of this world's fair is raised high in the air. But we're not going there yet. We're stopping here at another globe. This globe is half underground, as if it's swelling up from the ground below. Scattered around this globe are little globes like tiny worlds. Some are concrete and some are mirrored. This one is small enough. You can sit on it. And that one has a hole in it. You can crawl into this globe, as if into a private world. These globes prop up the upper hemisphere of the large globe. It's lifted open like a slit in the earth. This park consists of 9 pairs of tubes, U-shaped at one end and L-shaped at the other. They telescope down into 8-foot sections. Pull them out now and attach them to the building. The U-shaped ends hook onto the parapet. Each L-shaped end holds a module with a seat on opposite sides, or a seat on the inside and a tree on the outside. Each module is hung one step higher than the one before. A light shines up from beneath each floor. As we walk through this park, we're climbing up the side of the building. These buildings tell time. From the numbers on each convention center wall, facing one another, each clock is stretched across the street. The hour hand on the sidewalk, the minute hand on the traffic island, the second hand across the street. To tell the time here, we have to read through the clock, across people and across traffic. We have to find our own time here. We have to make our own time. As we walk down the street, as we drive through the street, we're passing through time. The operation was a success. Not only are you alive, you wake up twice the person you used to be. You feel the cold in your bones, the cold steel hardware implanted into your skeleton. Like an arm splint, like a neck brace, like a prosthetic limb, the infrastructure of your house and car and furniture is screwed into your bones, like a monkey on your back and at your limbs and over your head. You learn to live with your second skeleton as you learn to live with a wart or a pregnancy or a cancer. It moves with you as you move, like a shadow, a mirror image, a dancing partner, a double. As you walk along the shore, you step down into this rowboat, sunk into the ground. A tree grows out of its bow. The oars are embedded in the ground, as if rowing on land. You sit inside the boat, as if the land were water, and gaze out over the canal. When you've had enough of dreaming, you get up and walk over to another boat, its mirror image in the water. A rowboat wedged into a disc of grass. You start to row. The disc of grass pulls out of a cut in the shore. You're rowing your own private island out to sea. This park encloses itself and separates from its surroundings. The plot of land pivots at its center, so that one end is above ground and the other end below ground. The pivoting plane is subdivided, each smaller plane pivoting in a different direction. The pivoting planes turn the space into a maze. The entrance to each successive plane is around the corner, and we have to meander around to find our way in. The downhill slope is the course for a water channel that crosses our path. It's an obstacle in the maze. At the bottom of each slope, a bench forms at the retaining wall. We sit down here, in the middle of a group of people. Inserted within the walls are culvert pipes that make tunnels and individual seats. You go off by yourself now, and you sit alone there. Let's walk together into the mouth of this underground globe. We're in a ramp made of grating. Don't look down. Don't look down. It spirals from hemisphere to hemisphere. Cutting through the middle, a spiral staircase pokes through a hole in the top, into the open air. We're walking from ramp to stairway to ramp. We're walking down now in order to go up, and now we're walking up in order to go down. We're in a perpetual motion machine. This cavity is mirrored. We're in a hall of mirrors, inside a belly of infinite reflections. We're all mixed together here. We're all mixed up. We're multiplying. We never end. Hanging down the side of this building are corrugated metal roofs and grating floors. Each unit holds a different function, each step higher than the one before. The roofs collect rain and provide water. Let's climb the building. Here we are at a seat, a table, a stove, a refrigerator, a sink. We're getting higher now. Here's the shower, the toilet, the bed. We don't have to go inside the building. We have a house of our own outside. The sidewalk here has given birth to a car of its own kind. It's a half car, open on the sidewalk. We're sitting inside now, closed off from the street. We're in a capsule, side by side with the pedestrian life of the sidewalk. We have a car of our own here, against the traffic. This city is fed from below, from the methane gas of the garbage dump. The city is lit by garbage, and the city is powered by garbage. In this city of magic carpets, Each rug is a web of bowls that rise the tide of the dump. When a bowl sits on the slope, the cup inside the bowl, the ball inside the bowl, swivels to stay horizontal. We remain level and safe while the city flies. From this tree grove, a triangle of land is cut out and pulled into the canal. The triangle breaks up into smaller triangles, little islands, as water flows in to fill the spaces in between. The islands rise up above the water and dive down into the water. We step down and sit on the terraced edge of land. It's as if we've walked into an earthquake. Another piece of land rears up in front of us, over our heads. The ground in front of the schoolyard is mounded up 8 feet high and then sunk down 8 feet deep in front of the school building. Culvert pipes are inserted into the retaining walls and seats are installed inside. In front of the schoolyard, some of us have stepped off here from the sidewalk into holes in the sloping hill alongside. We're waiting for the bus here. Some of us have walked on the ground toward the school building into holes in the ground. We're holding a class here beneath the school. The two existing spheres on either side of the stairway are subsumed into a field of spheres from small to large. The spheres are cut into. We're walking through them, we're sitting inside them. Light shines from inside. We sit within the glow of the spheres. The plaza fills up with itself, with elements that were there all the time. The elements have replicated. The plaza turns in on itself. This office tower doubles now as a water tower. From different heights, waterfalls flow down the front facade, as if over a mountainside. Come with me into the building. We're walking inside a transparent tube through the waterfalls. The water that fills the courtyard slips through the side windows into the building. Inside the lobby, we sit on wedges of water. We sit in niches behind the water. The building is the home of an insurance company that's still standing in the middle of a flood. The entrance to this new city is not a building, not an arch, but a bulge, a fold, a warp. The gateway isn't a structure. Instead, it destructures and restructures what's already here. The edge of the city doesn't rest horizontal, lying on the ground. The edge of the city rises up to assert itself. It curls up to become a flag. As we come into the city rises up to meet us. The city wraps itself around us. The city starts from the ground up. It gets its ground up. The ground of the city becomes the sky. Your side and back splints lock into place. You lie back, stiff as a board, as your tubes telescope out beneath you. You are your own bed. Stretch your legs as you sit. Lean back. Swivel your tubes out and unlatch the wheels. You are your own vehicle. From the closed-up fan screwed to your temples, a microshell splays out over your head. Your head is your office. Your body is your chair. A microphone and projector are screwed to your skull. Talk. The inside of your helmet is a computer screen. Up ahead of us, the tree grove looks normal, untouched. The trees are all level. But as we walk into the grove within the trees, The ground slips out from under us. The land ramps down, further and further below the trees, and disappears underwater. As the land sinks, the ground is compensated for. The trees stand on columns. As the land sinks further and further down, the columns are built higher and higher. We have a place here, as we grab onto a tree, as we climb a tree. This community center is built not on the land, but in the land and with the land and from the land. Chunks of the upper level are cut out and moved over onto the lower level around it. In the middle of the mound, a large wedge is pulled out to the edge of the parking lot, making an opening, a town square, inside the upper level. A notch in the wedge, terraced into steps, functions as an amphitheater. On one side, a plain of grass is pulled out to make the roof of a one-story building. The displaced grass is replaced by the concrete floor of a basketball court. Around it, slivers of grass are tilted up to hold basketball hoops and light fixtures. The columns that support the building swoop out away from the building, over the plaza. Now that the columns have taken root in the ground, the roots grow in all directions over the ground. The building spreads its tentacles over the plaza. The building takes the plaza back. The columns melt. The columns curve out at the bottom and stretch out onto the pavement in front of them. These growths from the columns spill out like liquid across the plaza. They begin the same size as the standing columns. Then they taper as they crawl away from the building. They taper down to nothing as they get further and further away. The facade of this gallery is divided into segments that pivot. Now that lower panels are pivoted horizontally, we can use them as seats and tables. When all the walls are pivoted vertically, the gallery is continuous with the sidewalk, and the sidewalk becomes part of the gallery. As you walk down the street, you walk right into the gallery. Adjust the space for your exhibition. Inside, walls can be outside, and outside, inside. Turn the gallery inside out. White clouds float above the traffic circle in front of us. As we drive toward the circle, one cloud turns blue and rotates over the road. As we drive into the city, we drive through a volume of blue light. Look, another car is driving down another road. Another cloud rotates over that road, turning it blue. A car drives down the third road, and that road turns blue. As a car drives down the last road, all the roads around us are bathed in a blue glow. This city of magic carpets is self-sustaining. One rug is buildings. The largest bowls are factories, mirrored. The mid-sized bowls are offices and stores, transparent. The smallest bowls are houses, half-mirrored, half-transparent. One rug is green. The largest bowls are grazing fields for cows. The mid-sized bowls are crops. The smallest bowls are parks of trees and hanging plants. One rug is water. The largest bowls are fish farms. The mid-sized bowls are swimming pools. The smallest bowls are fountains and waterfalls. One quarter of this tree grove is pivoted out into the canal. The displaced land rises and falls like a glacier, in and out of the water. Let's walk down the sloping land into the water. The land is cut between trees, Water seeps in between trees, leaving a tree on one side of the cut, on a circle of ground over the water. The negative of that circle is notched into the other side. Let's step down here, into the water. Here and there, a tree is let loose. A lamppost is let loose in the middle of the cut. Let's step out now onto this island. We enter the community center from below, from the sidewalk, or from above, from the footpath on top of the hill. On the upper level, the park level, trees are displaced to make a playground. A tree is raised on a column, and tunnels are dug for the column by pulling out concrete slabs. We can climb over those slabs. We can sit on them. On the lower level, the city level, from each slope that remains in place at the ends of the site, a wedge is pulled out into the parking lot, and an outdoor market is formed inside the slope. Trucks with goods for the market might unload in the parking lot. Shoppers might park here, next to the market. When an extruded column crosses a path, it bends up and arches over it. As the fallen column leaves the ground and becomes an arch, its place on the ground is replaced by light. The insides of the arch are mirrored. The light under the ground is reflected within the arch. Walk under a bending column now, and sit on a fallen column. As the liquefied columns twist and turn and rise and fall over the plaza, the root of one intersects the root of another. The snaking columns combine with one another. One column worms its way under another. The concrete wall starts at the spiral of grass outside the building and winds from outside to inside. But the concrete wall isn't alone. Something is stuck to it. At the spiral of grass, the soil starts to rise up. A glass retaining wall holds the dirt in and allows the dirt to accumulate. When the dirt wall reaches the concrete wall, it clings onto it and uses it as support. The dirt wall starts to take. It fits onto the concrete wall like a new skin. As it moves over the wall, it moves upward. It rises up the wall. The ground fights back. The ground is brought up onto what's built on the ground. You can live in a city that's stored in a truck. Drive where you want. When the truck is parked, one unit after another is pulled out of the trailer. Each unit slides on tracks attached to the walls of the next largest unit. Each unit is slid out far enough so that its support legs can be folded down and fixed to the ground. The truck is driven forward so that the unit is released. Outside each unit, a section of the wall folds down to make a gangplank, and a ladder beneath it is hinged down onto the ground. Step up into your house now. Like a turtle, you carry your home on your back. Your house is folded up into a backpack that fits onto your supplementary backbone. Pivot out your backpack and slide it down your backbone pipes. Your backpack telescopes and stretches out behind you. You've set down the foundations of your house. Your backpack opens like a fan. From your extended spine, a macro shell flares out over your body. You are your own house. Your house is your second skin. As you light your house from within, your skin glows. Let's cross the bridge. It's mid-tide. The bridge is level with the water. We walk across the cut, past the tree in the middle of the bridge. Time passes. Let's cross the bridge again. It's low tide now. The tide lowers a float, which slides a column under the bridge down over a cylinder, fixed to the ground underwater. We step down into the cut, into an enclave separate from the city, and sit facing the tree below us. Time passes. Let's cross the bridge again. Now it's high tide. The tide raises the float, sliding the column up the cylinder underwater. We step up toward the tree and sit down, our backs to the tree, facing the city. Inside this war memorial, the land comes up in waves. The waves carry with them, under them, the names of the war dead. It's as if the names of the dead were submerged under the land. Now that the land waves up, the names are freed. The names are revealed underneath the waves. The names of the dead roll over us as we walk. The architecture in this plaza sends out feelers, scouts. The columns are freed from the building and come out to meet the street and the people. Each column proliferates and extends into a line of columns. The columns shake. The columns split and shift and bend in different directions. Where a column splits, light spills out from inside and washes over the plaza and shoots up into the sky. Let's join the columns now as they march across the plaza, as they dance. Let's sit inside the columns. Inside the building, we can't keep the dirt out. As the concrete wall comes inside, it brings in the outside. Where the concrete wall splits off to hold the staircase, the dirt wall is carried with it. The dirt wall climbs the stairs. The dirt wall spreads over the concrete wall, rising up to cover it. To enter a room off the concrete wall, we have to walk through the dirt wall. A niche is cut out here. Sit inside the dirt wall. It's as if you're sitting inside a cave. When the dirt wall reaches the top of the concrete wall, it folds over onto the second floor of the building. The dirt wall is taken off on its own and left the ground. In this mobile linear city, each house is walled off from the next. The end wall is either mirrored, it reflects back its own interior and stays enclosed in itself, or it's translucent. It gives only a shadowy view into the next house. Inside each house, sections of the wall pivot down to make a table, a bench, a bed, a shelf. The last unit is a communal service unit. Here, the wall panels pivot in to provide a refrigerator, a stove, a shower, a toilet. The more you use this house, the less private it is. Once you finish down the wall to have a toilet, you can use it, but watch out. Your ass is exposed now outside. At the top of the garbage dump, the rugs of the city lift up to frame a public space below. You've walked up the mound between the rugs on a mat of stones under steel mesh. You've arrived here at a plaza of waterfalls and hanging plants from the rug of greenery above. You access the city from here, up the columns that hold up the tilted rugs. The columns are elevator shafts. Upstairs, you walk along the rim of one bowl onto the rim of another. The rims are the walkways to the city. Look, it's the parting of the lakes. A trench is dug across each lake, like a V-shaped gash in the water. Water is displaced from within the lake to the top of the lake. The V-shaped channel extends up into an inverted V on top of the water. Waterfalls flow down the inverted V. The valley in the water makes a mountain of waterfalls on either side of the valley. The mountain of waterfalls makes a valley in the water between the mountains. As you walk down into the water, a wall of water rises above you on either side of you. The two gardens from the past are each enclosed by an 8-foot-high chain-link fence. We can't go inside. These are gardens for the eyes only. The new garden in the middle is a garden for the body. A plane of chain link is stretched between the two fences. It's a horizontal plane of ivy, 4 feet off the ground. We walk in a group down an 8-foot-wide pathway through the middle. Now turn onto a 4-foot pathway. Only two of us at a time can fit here. The garden is chest high around us. Turn again. You walk alone here down a 2-foot pathway that dead ends in seating. You sink into the garden. Walk with me now to the train station at the bottom of the hotel. Starting from the ground, walls rise up and curve over us like shells to become roofs. The shells are screens like Venetian blinds, horizontal slats suspended one above the other and set at different angles. Everything behind the screens, the ramps on either side of us and their retaining walls, the traffic on the ramps, the surrounding buildings in this canyon, they're all turned into flickers, flickers of images. It's as if we're in a movie, a kaleidoscope, a flip book. You approach the central exhibition hall, as always, from the museum lobby. But this time the room is doubled. It's as if you're seeing everything twice. The front wall has slipped down from itself and bulges out through itself. Behind the doorway, another doorway slants down across it. Inside the exhibition hall, the room you're in has fallen down on you. You're in a replica of the original room that slipped down from a corner. The skylight of the replicated room slants down over your head. At your feet, another skylight pivots up out of the floor. Another room, another replica of the original room, has started to rise inside the fallen room. Standing at the side of the road, we catch a glimpse of the Japanese garden as it drives by. A thin, transparent box makes a plane of sand that sits on the hood and passes through the car. 6 televisions, different sizes, are planted in clusters within the sand. These are the rocks of the new style of Japanese garden. The sand is loose inside its container. The sand shifts as the car moves. A Japanese garden now isn't as still as it used to be. Your house is your car. Your head is your windshield and your rearview mirror. Your environment is projected inside your head. When you come back home, visitors can enter your house as if coming inside your skin. Not everyone is invited inside. But as long as you keep your lights on, everyone gets to see. Your house is an X-ray. You take your apartment with you as you move from city to city, from town to country. Your house is a leech that clings onto and feeds off buildings. There's a world out there. Grab it as it goes by. You stick onto a stretch limousine, a tractor, a cruise ship. You ride for free. This strip of grass and trees that separates the street from the side driveway explodes into the city. Offshoots from the strip sprawl out, sweep out to the sidewalks and streets and buildings around it. Within the strip, trellises rise up from the ground and bend and shoot out toward the edge of the strip. Planes of greenery reach the edge of the strip. You can sit inside them. Planes of greenery reach the edge of the sidewalk. You can take shelter under them. Planes of greenery reach the buildings across the driveway, where they function as canopies for the stores below. Let's walk down the river wall in this transparent half tube. At the river's edge, it becomes a tunnel underwater. We walk under the river and come up on an island of water. The island is a hollow egg split down its length, the top half shifted off the bottom half. The bottom half is a bowl that sits inside the water. We can go to the theater here. The top half is a dome that floats on the water. We can sit in a cafe here. Where the two half shells overlap in the middle, another egg is formed, half in water and half above water. Our children can play here. As we walk toward the train station, a screen arches over us like a wave. Between the mirrored slats, we catch glimpses of the buildings that loom over us. The walkway rises up and over us. We rise up and over ourselves, from mirrored slat to mirrored slat. From the bottom of each screen, light shines up the mirrored slats. Light bounces up from slat to slat, illuminating the walkway. The slats of the screen above us now are transparent blue. The buildings turn blue. You're walking now on top of the fallen room you used to be inside of. You walk up onto the skylight of the fallen room and come up into the skylight of the original room. You're sandwiched now between the replicated skylight and the original skylight. Wedged through the falling skylight is a corner of the skylight of the rising room below. A tree growing out of the rising skylight comes up through the falling skylight. The tips of his branches reach up and through and out the original skylight. Do you want to rent a room for the night? Come to the car. A hydraulic piston lifts the shell of the car off its floor. The shell is the roof of a four-story hotel. Each floor is a rubber bed. Each bed has a pillow at the head and a seat at the foot. Next to each seat is a television, directed toward the floor below. A chain ladder rolls up off a spool in the floor of the car. This is how you go upstairs to your room. When you leave in the morning, when all the rooms are vacant, I'll pack the hotel up and drive through the city. Wherever people need it, wherever people want it. Time passes and the flying carpets fall. As gas is released from the garbage dump and the garbage dump shrinks, the outer sleeves of the columns that hold up the rugs slide down. The stairways and elevators sink in garbage. The bowls come down from the sky like fallen zeppelins. The city ends. The city is dead. Long live the city.